What child is this? Well, you know all the, you know, what does culture think? Little baby Jesus, you know, in the mangers, very commercialized. But we should know, Christians should know what the Bible says is the reality. What child is this? And like Mary said in the Magnificat, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And like Ben sang, holy is his name, exalted is his name, he is king. In theology, there's also known, or categorization, I don't know, but the offices, Christ's offices that he ultimately fulfills. What offices of Christ, and what was the type in the Old Testament of who were anointed? Anointing was used for some special people. And of course, Jesus then fulfills those in an infinite way. He is the prophet. In the Old Testament, Moses was considered the greatest prophet. In fact, Deuteronomy 34:10. But since then, there has not risen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. So, for Jews today, Moses, he is the prophet. But then prophecy, you know, future from Moses' day, in Deuteronomy 18 predicted, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, Moses, like me, in your midst, from your midst, from your brethren, Israelites. Him you shall fear. So there was coming a prophet greater than Moses. And if you think of all the Old Testament prophets, from Elijah to Malachi, there's many prophets that spoke the word of God, but they all came and went, and they died, except for one guy. When you get to the New Testament in John, and in Jewish thinking, there was the article, the prophet that the Jewish people were looking for, a precursor, very important figure to Moses. And in John 1:21, when John the Baptist showed up, a lot of people thought he was the prophet, the precursor for their view of a Messiah. And even during later in the New Testament, Jesus was called the prophet. You know, people had a mistaken view of, you know, their understanding of the prophet after the feeding of the 5,000 in John 6 and the triumphal entry in Matthew 21. Jesus was called, is this, you know, the people would cry out, is this the prophet? Peter, you know, good old fisherman Peter, he and Stephen, right before he was killed for his sermon. More pastors ought to be killed for their sermons. But they talked about Jesus as the prophet, the correct view of that prophet. In Hebrews chapter 1, we get, you know, and be thinking, what do prophets do? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So that ultimate prophet, the final prophet, the words of Jesus are the words of God. And he not only speaks the truth, he is the truth. So as the final word of God, you know, contra, fill in the blank for cults, religions, you know, Muhammad claims to be the final prophet in the Quran, the final word of God. false. Jesus is the final word. Is he your final word? You know, or sometimes do we fall into this time of year, oh, little baby Jesus, isn't he cute? He's our Savior, folks. He is the prophet that whose name should be exalted. But he is also another office that was anointed, you know, when they anointed in the Old Testament, were prophets and priests. He is the priest. A prophet represents God, speaks the word of God. A priest represents the people, a mediator, someone who stood between God and offered the appropriate sacrifices. The writer to Hebrews says in Hebrews 5, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, had a role, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. That's what the high priest did. And in the Old Testament, the priests were of the tribe of Levi and of the clan of Aaron, you know, the Moses' brother. And so the hope, there's a hope for a coming new high priesthood on the order of Melchizedek. You've heard that name. And Melchizedek is a type of Christ in that he was a priest and a king. And the point of that story is he had no lineage, but Abraham recognized the superiority of Melchizedek. Psalm 110:4, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And that word in Hebrew means the king of righteousness. Good name for Jesus. So in priestly work, priests offered sacrifice and he made intercession to God. So a sacrifice, you needed both a priest to offer the sacrifice and you needed a victim. Jesus fulfilled both. Hebrews 10, but this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Folks, that's unlike those Old Testament sacrifices that recurred. That was complete once for all. The priest was also the sacrifice. He was the perfect priest, no atonement. The Old Testament priests offered sacrifices to cleanse themselves before they were allowed to represent God and represent the people before God. But Jesus was the perfect priest. No atonement was needed for him. Without sin, the lamb without blemish. And that's Hebrews 5 and 7. But he was also that perfect, the priest, sinless, but he was the perfect victim, of course. He was that lamb without blemish, and he could actually remove sin instead of covering it. The Bible talks about the Old Testament sacrifice did not remove sins. They were done in obedience to God to show what God was going to do ultimately if they knew their Old Testament, went to Sunday school back then, ultimately there was coming a sacrifice that would finish this sacrificial system once for all. But then also not only sacrifice, but this ought to encourage you. Intercession. Priests also all offered prayers, which was consequential, very important, for that finished work of atonement. Hebrews 7, therefore he, Jesus, is able to save to the uttermost. Think of that. No matter how bad you wretches are, you're all a bunch of wretches. Jesus can save you from the uttermost, from where you are to where he's taking you. Those who come to God through him, through Jesus, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Think of that, folks. God the Son is making intercession for you right now before the throne. Romans 8. Who is this who condemns? It is Christ who died. That's a rhetorical. No one can condemn us. It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. I don't know about you, but I mean, you heard Lee's view of me. Some pastors need a lot of help. Well, Lee, I've got Jesus helping me. So deal with it, buddy. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, all of us, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And then that, I'm going to start crying. Advocate is, you know, a defense lawyer, but that's where we get our word. Some of you know the word paraclete. That's the English word, or Hebrew, Greek word, paraclete. The Holy Spirit is another paraclete. Jesus is the lead defense attorney. You know, Satan can accuse me of lots of stuff. Jesus stands, you know, I'm using a little sanctified imagination here. Sorry, I don't like when pastors do this. But, you know, the judge is saying you're guilty, and I'm guilty. And Jesus, my defense lawyer, gets up and says, yeah, he is guilty, but I died for him. Some good example. Luke 22. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, Peter, indeed, Satan has asked for you. It's my stroke. It's called pseudo bullbar effect. I get emotional because, you know, I look at you people and I just, ugh. Satan has asked for you, Peter, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have... But I have prayed for you. That your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen the brethren. And then in John 17, what's called the high priestly prayer. In the first five verses, Jesus prays for himself, for his glory. And for the next, up to verse 19, for protection for his disciples. But then at the end of the prayer, for unity for us. So, that's our Savior. So the sacrifice, the atonement, the death on the cross, that's a past event. Finished, complete. Once for all. But then intercession. It's present. It's a never ending. I'm sorry. And it's on.
Вот.
Do you recognize that in your life? Because you people need prayer. Especially. But that's our Savior. Now we get to Christ the King Sunday. He is the King. Prophets, priests, and King. In the Old Testament, the King was the executive, the legislative, and judicial, all rolled up into one monarch. And Israel, as a nation, was to be the representative, the light of the Gentiles, to the Gentiles, rather, as a representative, the great King. Of course, God was always supposed to be their real King. And so then, if you remember, under Samuel, the people sinned and, told Samuel, we want a king so we can be like other countries. But the king Israel was supposed to maintain righteousness. They were God's people. And the king then also provided protection. And a very tender analogy was the king was the shepherd of his people and took care of his people. And then specifically, after we got the monarch, the Davidic lines, the Davidic covenant, David's seed, 2 Samuel 7, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, David, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. David, Solomon built the temple, the house, and that's that Davidic line. That's why it's important for the true king in as a human. Isaiah 9:6, you all know this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. It's very important. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Luke 1:32, right before the Magnificat, the Benzine, he part of the telling this young virgin woman, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. So little baby Jesus. I mean, Christmas is a wonderful time, but when we see that baby, we should understand that what God says is that's the little baby, the king, that rules all providentially over creation and especially over the church. He is the head of the body. He defends us and protects us from our enemies, including death, that ultimate enemy we are protected from in our King. And he shepherds us. I mean, think of the 23rd Psalm. But Matthew 2, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And then, of course, he's the judge. And John 5, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. And ultimately, that's because he is one of us. He has a right to be our judge. So I guess in my analogy, really, he's up on the throne, but then he comes down and defends me against him. Don't make me think. So what child is this? Just a baby in Bethlehem? Folks, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. At his second coming, here are the words of Revelation 19. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. and in righteousness. He judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings. I almost had him. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So what child is this? The ultimate prophet, priest, and king. So glory to God in the highest. Spring. Lord, thank you for this time of year. Help us to always remember the preciousness, the sweetness, the joy of the Christmas season, but never to forget the true nature of that child born in that manger some 2,000 years ago. He is the eternal Son of God, and we praise him and honor him and give glory to his name. In his name we pray. And all the people said, Amen.